Okay, so we were in the middle of Yud Amud Aleph last week. Yeah, it was last week. Oh, there you go. See, last week we began the Gemara, the sort of second section of the Gemara on this new Mishnah, and we talked about the different sort of stringencies of the different elements. We compared Bor, Eish, and Keren, right? And we left off Regel and Shem. I haven't got a good answer. I didn't look up an answer. I did puzzle over it a little bit. I think Andy asked an interesting question last week as to why Regel and Shem are not left on the list. And I was thinking, I haven't found anyone. I do want to still follow this up. But they are a little different in the sense that Regel and Shem, I feel like, are more normal things to do. You know, for an animal to sort of eat or trample as it walks is expected. Whereas for the idea of Keren is that it is out of the ordinary, right? Unusual for this animal to gore, which is why we only have Chatzi Nezek, right? To light a fire is obviously something which you're not expecting to happen. Meaning the point is that it's something that shouldn't be happening in the normal course of a day. Something you should be watching over to dig a pit again and not sort of set it up in a way. Something that shouldn't be happening in a normal course of the day. Whereas an animal eating something is something which is normal. You know, it's expected to happen. You might be liable for it. Yes, it's true. You have to repay for the damage that has been done. But in a sense, it's almost more part of the normal course of the day. So I wonder if that's a little bit of a difference. But I haven't seen anyone who says that and what implication that would have. So as I said, that was just a couple of last thoughts. And the other thing is we sort of got to the two dots, but might be worth just clarifying the very, very end of this Gemara. So we sort of went through each of the different chumras, and we'd talked about particularly at the end we talked about bur, right, and the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim to do with the idea of what we call of kalim, right, of whether you are liable for other things that fall into, well, for specifically for utensils, right, or at the very, very least for the garments and the saddle and the bit, etc., that are on the animal that falls in. So you're definitely liable to pay back for the animal that falls into the pit. But what about all the things that it is wearing or that are on it? So according to the Chachamim, you would be exempt, whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would be liable. And we were comparing that to Eish. And we sort of ended, so maybe we'll go from Mat Kiflar of Ashi, which is more or less halfway down the page. We were talking about the Psule HaMakdoshin. So I said, I think we sort of rushed through it at the end. So maybe we'll just begin from there and then continue with the two dots after that. Very interesting next piece of Gemara, which we'll get to, but I think it's good to finish this one off. Okay, so Mat Kiflar of Ashi. Everybody with me? Well, Mat Kiflar of Ashi. Lisni chamor bashar mibabor, right? So why don't we teach an extra sort of difference, an extra stringency with regards to shor overbor, which would be shahashar chayav bo shor psulei hamukdoshin, that there is a special that when it comes to the damage caused by your animal, that if we have what we call a shor psulei hamukdoshin, which basically means that you have you dedicate an animal to the temple and can no longer be brought to the temple for whatever reason, it develops some sort of defect, which means it can no longer be brought to the temple. So you can redeem it, right? So you redeem that animal, you no longer have to bring that animal, you bring something else instead. And that is redeemed. But there are still limitations. There are still certain limitations as to what you can do with that animal and what you can't do with that animal. I believe, for instance, you can... we have a good... I know we get them mixed up, but I can't remember. You can use the milk, but you can't use the meat, or the other way around. And again, there's sort of limitations as to what you can use it for and what you cannot use it for. Oh, here, yes. Shemamonahu, ach other ligzos osa velishtas chalvah, right? You can't use the shearings and you cannot use the milk, etc. But you can, nechene meis, also laha'achil nevelosa leklovim. You cannot feed it to your dogs, right? You can eat it yourself. So again, there are limitations as to what you can do with it and what you cannot do with it. And with regards to a boar, right, when an animal falls into a pit, we say what's called hames yehiyelo. meaning usually the owner of, sorry, the nizak, the person who has had the damage caused to them, i.e. their animal has died, would get the carcass in a sense and be able to use that, and that would be part of the reparation. Whereas obviously that cannot happen in the case of Psulim Mikdoshim, because they cannot use the carcass, they can't feed it to their dogs or anything like that. Masha Inke Babur, so therefore with Bur is different, whereas with an animal goring that, if your animal were to gore it, then you would still be liable. There's no link to the carcass itself. So therefore that should be, again, a chumrah, a special stringency with regards to shor over bor. So iomras bishlamar rabbanon, if we're within the world of rabbanon, as a reminder, we said that the rabbanon, according to the rabbanon, this is not it continues, right? Iomras bishlamar rabbanon here, I did the shir hach shir nami, right? Sorry, shir nami hach. I did the shir nami hach. So we've already said that according to the rabbanon, the whole list is an incomplete list, and we've already listed two things according to the Rabbanan that weren't that were not included, two exceptions to this general rule, and therefore fine, so it's a third exception, so that's not such a big deal, right? But we said according to Rabbi Yehuda, Eliyamas Rabbi Yehuda, right? According to Rabbi Yehuda, my shear, the high shear, according to Rabbi Yehuda, until this point, we've assumed that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is an exhaustive list. So if it's an exhaustive list, as we said last time, then that's fine. But if we're leaving off one thing, then we have to show that there's at least two things to be left off this list if it's going to be a non-exhaustive list, right? If there are going to be a few, so basically, if in the world of Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to have to find something else that it has left off this list. My shir de high shir dosh beniro. So potentially the Gemara suggests maybe it left off dosh beniro, where the animal trampled on the furrows on the ground, right? And therefore, and intentionally, right? I think this is the point. So we're within the world of Keren. So it goes and does it sort of intentionally, and it's trying to sort of trample them and mess up your land. Imishim dosh beniro lav shiurahu, right? So so the Gemara counters to that. And says that basically that is included in the list, right? That's not considered to be i.e. an animal would be liable, right, for trampling the ground, whereas a bird would not be liable for trampling the ground. So Gemara says that's not something which is not left on the list. That's included in the list. Why? The Hatana, we've already said the list says Shekain Darko Leila Cholahazik. We've already clarified that the difference, one of the differences between Shor and Bor, is that an animal can move, whereas a pit can't move. So obviously the animal, that, you know, the fact that the animal can damage land, can damage karka, which is static, and a bor, a pit, cannot damage karka, is included within that line the fact that the animal can move, whereas the pit cannot move, and therefore, according to Rabbi Huda, if this fits, basically the Gemara sort of leaves it a little bit halfway, you know, if it seems to be that according to Rabbi Huda, this would not work, because we don't seem to have, it still does seem to be an exhaustive list, we cannot just have one exception to this list, so therefore maybe that line doesn't work according to Rabbi Huda. And therefore it sounds from the end of, I mean, the Gemara doesn't clarify this, but it sounds from the end of the Gemara that we're going to attribute this to the Rabbanon, and that the list is going to be a non-exhaustive list. So there may well have been other things that were left off. Okay. All right. Any questions on this last piece before we move on? Just one other nice thing to Rabbi Rosner, I like to listen to on these things, actually pointed out a very nice, this is not just linked to the Gemara, but it sort of jumps out from this Gemara, the idea of Eish. We talked about Eish being consuming things which are ro'oilo and ina ro'oilo, right? That Eish consumes things whether they're sort of normal, you know, normal for, yeah, for, you know, consumable or non-consumable, right? It will damage even stones, as we said before. So one of the more, what we call drushi safarim, the Haksav v'Hakabalah, I didn't see it inside, but he quoted saying that when the Torah was given, it refers to God being an Eish Ocheles, right, an all-consuming fire. He said, what does that mean when it's an all-consuming fire? So he notes that everybody who is at Har Sinai, all, you know, everybody who is part of this, in a sense, was part of that fire, that all-consuming fire. So what are the lessons that we take from that? So he said, one of the things that we recognize is that Eish will consume anything. We will all be, in a sense, connected to the Torah in that way. Yes, we were all sort of part of that. But just as a fire can consume things in different ways, some things will be easier, some things will be harder, some things will melt in fire, some things will become harder in fire, right? So, you know, it'll all be different. So too, each of our connections to the Torah is going to be slightly different. It's going to be based on our own personality. It's going to be a little different. It's going to be unique. But even within that, he says, it's up to us, in a sense, whether we make ourselves more rotten or not, whether we make ourselves more difficult to be consumed, as it were, you know, to sort of subsume ourselves within this world or not. And I just thought it was a nice idea that he mentioned, which jumped out from these pages. Okay, so we're going on from the two dots, now a third of the way down. Hechsharti b'miktzat nizko. Very interesting piece of Gemara, because what the Mishnah has basically said at this point is that if you just to go back, the Mishnah said right at the beginning, right? Hechsharti b'miktzat nizko. This is the top of Test Amud Beis, about 7 or 8 lines down. Chavti b'tashlumei nizko. That if you basically did only part of the work, right, you caused part of the damage, you will still be liable for all of the damage. And it's unclear what exactly that is referring to, right? It's obviously going to apply in some cases and not in others. What exactly, it sounds like that there is something here that the Mishnah is introducing to us that we wouldn't have otherwise known, that is not obvious, right? That there is a case in which you will do, you seemingly only do part of the damage, and yet you're going to be liable for all of it. So what the Gemara is going to do now is to try and figure out what exactly that case is, or are there multiple types of cases, and we're going to go through a few different ways in which you may be liable, even though you only seem to do a part of the actual preparation of the damage, or the actual sort of, in theory, you might have said you're only liable for part of it. Okay, so... Hechsharti b'miktzat nizko. As I said, about two thirds or three quarters of the way down the middle of the line. Tonu rabbonon. Now rabbis taught. Hechsharti miktzat nizko. Chavti b'tashlumei nizko. Kehechsher kol nizko. As we said in the Mishnah, right? If you do half the damage, you'll still be liable for all of it, or you prepared half of it, right? Hechsharti means to prepare it. You've got it ready. Kehechsher kol nizko. Ketzad, the Gemara asked. How does this work? Let's come up with a case. Hachofer bor tisha, you dig a pit. One person digs a pit that is 9 tefachim deep. Uva acher vehishlimo la'asara, and somebody else comes along and digs it down to 10. So we mentioned already, we had the Gemara at the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph, the fact that there's a difference between Tes and Yud, right? A pit that is 9 tefachim deep is not considered to be one where you could, which would kill an animal, and therefore it fundamentally is a different type of, would not carry with it the same level of liability. Whereas one that is 10 tefachim deep, once you hit that threshold, right, then you would be liable for an animal that dies in that pit, right? So the Gemara basically suggests that maybe you have one person comes along and digs a pit from 9 tefachim, and the other one digs it down to 10 tefachim. Then the person who dug it, that final tefach, right, even though hichsharti b'miktas nizko, even though only did one of the tefachim, they only did the very, very end of that digging, then they will be liable for everything, and the person who dug the first 9, right, would be so just over 10. Is that what you mean? Okay, so just over 10. Yeah, I think that's what it means. Yeah, I mean, means that we passed the threshold. That's the point, right? So we passed the threshold. Interesting question. Maybe we'll come back to this. Actually, I'd like to come back to this as to what about if it's not over the threshold? You know, what about if it's 8 to 9? What about if it's 11 to 12 or whatever it is? Yeah, that's an interesting question which we'll try and consider. And I think there are opinions on it, although I haven't, as I said, I haven't managed to see them all.
What do you mean? Do you mean after the second person has died, it's still not under the threshold?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Well, you're still liable for something. The point is, you're not liable for the death of the animal. That's the difference, right? That's the difference. So here is the Yeah, so the Gemara basically, let's just keep it with our focus at the moment, i.e. the Gemara is trying to find a case where you do part of the work and yet you're liable for all of the damage. So it's suggesting that if a person who digs 9 down and then someone else digs the 10th, ha'acharon chayv, only the last person is liable. Udalo k'Rebbe, this doesn't work according to Rebbe, right, says the Gemara. Right, this is not well work within his world. Why? Detanya hachofer ber tisha uva acher veheshlima la'asara acharon chayav. Rebbe Omer, we have a different writer which quotes this exact case and says, yes, that would be, the majority opinion seems to be that the final person, the person who dug the last tefach, would be the liable one. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe disagrees and says, acharon lamisa. Achar shnehem linezikin. So Rabbi says, yes, you're right that with regards to the death of an animal, then only the last person would be liable. But if the animal fell in and was damaged, then both of them, right? Shnehem linezikin, right? Then both of them would be liable together. Okay, so Rashi, about 10 lines from the top. 10 lines from the bottom, maybe a bit more. 12 lines from the bottom. Acha, acha, and lamisa clarifies, im meis hashar, if the animal falls in and dies, lo yeshalem harishan klum, then the first person would not pay anything. Why? Because for 9 tefachim, to test tefachim, which he dug first, ein bahem kadei lahomis, right? That wouldn't have been enough to kill the animal. Acha, shnehem lenazikin, right? Continuing on in the Rashi, the im huzak kasher, however, if the animal became damaged through this velomis but didn't die, yeshalmu bein shnehim, then the payment is split between the two of them, right? Both of them would have to pay, would have to pay for this because the first one had dug. The implication being that according to the Rabbanon, if let's say it was, let's say the animal fell in, first person digs 9. This last person digs the final tefach, the animal falls in and becomes damaged. Rebbe says they split it. According to the Rabbanon, right, the majority opinion seems to be that still, even though the animal didn't die, even though we're just talking about damage in this case, nevertheless, only the last person is going to pay. Right? Only the last person is going to pay. So that's what that we have this debate between the Rabbanon and Rebbe. And we're going to, as I said, I'd like to come back to this case.
There is now no threshold, so why the first person had dug the pit? If the second person hadn't dug it further, the first person would have been liable.
But they didn't.
They didn't, but they must. What do you mean, the animal didn't?
No, but the bottom line is somebody came along and did the final act.
I don't quite understand why that would make the first digger not liable.
Well, because his act didn't make a difference.
But neither did the second person.
He dug the pit. He was the one who completed the pit.
But the animal could have been damaged on the result of the first.
Yeah, but could have is not the key element. The fact that it happened. Again, I can hear both sides. I think this is the debate. I just think that within the world of, you're saying according to the Rabbanon, right? That's the world we're struggling with. According to the Rabbanon, the point is that the person who puts that final piece of the puzzle in, then they are, that's what our mission is saying, effectively, right? Tichsharti b'miktas nizka, even though you only did the last part, even though you only prepared part of it, you're still going to be liable for the whole thing because you are the one who sort of has prepared that. I mean, I think it's a little bit further than that. Yeah, go on.
Then I suppose you don't need the concept of a threshold for the death, do you? Then you'd say the second person, he helped to dig the pit, he's going to be liable whether there's a threshold concept or not.
No, the threshold is there to figure out whether you're liable for the death at all. Meaning, let's say one person digs down to 9 and the animal falls in and dies. So you're not liable for the death.
Yeah.
You're liable for obviously for the damage that's caused, but not for the death, because that is...
Yeah, and if it doesn't die...
Then you're liable for the damage.
Yeah, still liable for damage. Even
at
if
9.
Someone else comes along and extends the pit, when the damage, if he hadn't extended it and that animal had fallen in, he might still have suffered damage. and you're on a 9 tabaxi, could cause damage.
Let's put it like this. Let's say you, I don't know. I mean, you can come up with all sorts of things. Let's say someone is about to. I don't know. I'm driving my car and I'm about to drive it into someone else's car. Right. I don't know why I'm coming up with this case, but just for argument's sake, moments away from driving into someone else's car. I'm clearly going to be liable. Their car is parked. I'm going to be the one who's going to have to pay back. And just at that moment, you smash up their car. You know, you decide that you're going to do that. Someone else comes in and does that. So the person who actually did the damage is the one who's going to be liable. The fact that, yes, it could have happened, it was about to happen, I maybe was going to do it, doesn't make you liable. So I think this is, it's not exactly the same case, but the point I think that Ramon and I'm making here is that the fact that you've dug a pit of 9 is, yes, you would be liable if that happens, but it didn't happen in your pit. It, in a sense, the person almost, maybe you can make it into like a Kenyan type thing or something, I don't know. But the point is that when you dig that final piece, you have now taken on the responsibility for it, right? And when the animal falls in, then they're going to, then you're going to be liable for that. That's a bit further. I mean, I'm overstating it a little bit because I want to come back to this. Okay, let's pause here. We'll pause here for a moment, I guess, just to, because I think we're throwing, what we've not talked about is what about a case which is not going over the threshold, right? What about if you have a pit which is 5 and then the person digs down to 6, right? And then the animal gets damaged in there.
We start digs down to 5, an animal falls in and they're liable for damage.
Yes.
If the animal doesn't die.
Right.
So if the animal does die, it's only 5 to 1.
Then you wouldn't be liable.
You'd be liable at all.
Yes, I'm not sure exactly what that. I don't remember the Gemara on Gimel. What that means. I think it's just a different type of liability.
Let's the rabbi whether the animal is injured or dies.
Right.
And if he dies because the pit is too deep,
yes,
they're both are liable for what we've just.
No, so let's leave aside the two people. Just to, assuming one person now. Let's just say one person digs a pit of 5 and an animal falls in and dies. So you're not liable for the death. What exactly that means, I'm not entirely sure. In the sense of, is there something that you would pay? I don't know how you would quantify damages without the death. And the point is that you didn't do something which should have resulted in the death of the animal, and therefore you wouldn't be liable for the death of the animal. So I don't know how you could say that, I don't know, it broke its leg and...
I suppose if it had harnesses on it or goods which were damaged in the fall, that would be the level of damage.
Although you don't, but you never pay back. That's one of the exemptions of a pit, is that you never pay back for things on the animal altogether. That would be in your favour. That would be in your favour. Yes. Okay, so that's where I want to go. So I think let's assume for now that, as I said, that you, because once if the animal falls in this case and dies, then we're going to assume that you're not liable because as I said, because you didn't do something which should have resulted in the death of the animal, right? So you dug a small hole with no reason. If it breaks its leg, yes, you would be liable. But so we'll leave it as that simpler case. Now you have two people who do the same. Now you have two people. Now we'll introduce the second person. So I dig a pit down, whatever, let's call it 3 tfachim, right? And someone else comes along and digs down to 6. So would we say the same thing, right? Would we say that you would be liable? Or would we say it's the same machlokas, basically? Okay, we've already got this machlokas, Rabbanon and Rebbe, right? Maybe you...
Doesn't everybody agree that the threshold is 9? And if it's 5 to 6...
Threshold for what? Threshold for death.
For death.
But you did, the animal hasn't died. The animal fell in and broke its leg. So you're definitely... If I dig down to 3 tvachim and an animal breaks its leg as it's walking in, I'm liable to pay back. Yeah. So now you come along and you've dug down to 6.
Doesn't make any difference, does it? Because the first person has already ready liable.
So who should pay? The second one doesn't pay at all?
No, because the first one has already committed or has already made the danger at the level that would have been sufficient to cause the damage.
That's a big... That's a big chiddush. I don't know if he's not irrelevant. He's the one who caused the damage.
No. But because if he fell in, it's taken as read that three tefachim is enough to cause damage potentially. Therefore,
what about if you filled it in first? I don't know. You had person A dug three tefachim down. Person B comes along and fills in the pit. Person C comes along and digs six tefachim down.
So he dug a pit of six.
But the first one dug three. So he'd already committed himself to that.
You mean he filled it in not to the top?
No, he filled it in to the top.
So it's a new pit. There's no pit.
But the point is, your action doesn't change if the person does the same thing. So you're saying that, my point is, you can't hold the first person liable if the first person is liable irrelevant of what happens afterwards, then it's irrelevant what happens afterwards. My point, how do you the liability
has for a given pit.
The pit has changed. It's gone from three to six.
No, that doesn't matter. It's after 10.
Why is after 10 one? But that's for death. We're not dealing with a case of death. We're dealing with a case of damage here.
Yeah, but it's still considered a pit down to 10. Talking is considered a pit.
Right.
Anything more than that is a danger.
I don't see how you can say the second person hasn't done anything. They've become involved in this damage. I thought we were going to say that they should split it. The question was going to be whether they split it or whether we would say the last one is liable, just like we said over here. The first one for sure is going to be the one who's got an easier time of it, because they're much further removed from what actually happened. Okay, so 50-50 split, I think, would be the way I would think. Let me see if I can find it here, because I think there is a Tosis on it, but I don't think it's over here, if I remember correctly. Let's see if I have it.
The first one did 6, the next one did 3,
the 66, 33
split.
Why 66-33? What's the two thirds?
Well, the first guy done 6, and the second did 3.
Oh, I see. That's a really hard one. But I don't think you could argue that you'd have to argue, in order to make that work, you'd have to argue that they qualitatively, that, you know, that those that, that per tefach, in a sense, the damage was per tefach, which I don't think you could really argue that realistically. So what we'd do is we would just say, split halfway. Let me see if I can find.
What matters is the current state of the pit. Like if it's a six fucking pit that the animal fell, and so then you might almost argue that the first person was irrelevant.
Yes. Right. Exactly. Which is what the Gemara says over here. At least in the case of a death, right? That's the case. Yes. Correct. The first one wouldn't be. But I think it's first. Let me see if I can find the quote for this. I didn't show it. No, that's over there. Here we go. Yes, okay, great. So Tosa says it slightly differently. Okay, so Tosa says as well. Tosa says, what about if someone digs down to 10 tefachim, right? This is Tosa. It's not on here. Sorry, I have it. Maybe it is. It's on the next page, maybe. We have it next page. Amud Beis. Let me see if I can find it. Dibra Maschil Mai. My cut of it. Oh yeah, okay, right. Yeah, so the top one on Yud Amud Aleph. I'm not sure what this is based on. Yud Amud Beis, excuse me. Yud Amud Beis. Yud Amud Bet. So what exactly is this? Which piece of Gemara is he basing this on? My cut of it. Okay, I'm not sure what he's going on. Probably on a later Gemara, but okay, D'Tanya. So we're going from the second line down towards the end of the second line in the Tosafot. D'Tanya Perik Hapara. So this is in a later Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Echad Hachokek Bor LeYud. Somebody who digs down a pit to 10 Tefachim. Uva Acher VeYishlimo LeEsrim. and the other person digs it down to 20. Uvachar Ishlim and Shloshim, and the next person does it down to 30. Kulam Chayovim, everybody's liable. Afal Gav Divelav Ihu Hava Mesa, even though without the other two, right, it would have. So this is maybe close. This is what we're talking about. So even though without, based on the first person's actions, the animal would have died. But nevertheless, the fact that the second one and the third one came along and involved themselves in this hazard and clearly enhanced this hazard, they would still be liable. Mihu, bazeh tzarech ledakdek v'chibeshvil shehishlich ish eit besoch ish gedola yischayev. Holo domi, right? So he says, what about if you have a fire and someone adds on to the fire, right? That might not be exactly the same thing. Lo domi, that's not exactly the same case. Elo le'echad shechofer bur yud uvo'achar ve'eshlimo liyud aleph. Right. Interesting. Okay, so he leaves it a little bit unclear as to which what the difference is. So let's leave aside the fire case, but at the very least, right, he seems to be saying that you would split that with the three of them. So even though, so the threshold seems to be significant. I do believe this is a debate. This is a machlokas, and that others say that you would not be liable in that case. And I still think we can hear both sides. So let's just take it step by step. Tosas says that you would be liable. So leaving aside the threshold of 10, if you have a pit of 10, one person digs a pit of 10, someone else adds another 10 stock and goes down to 20, both of them would be liable if the animal falls in and dies. That's Tosas' opinion. If you want to disagree with that, you'd be basing yourself on this Gemara and saying that only crossing the threshold is significant, right? The fact that you've gone from 9 to 10 is what would make a difference. Whereas once you're no longer crossing a threshold, then...
Sorry, 10 is a threshold, not 9.
Correct.
Yeah, crossing the threshold of 10.
Exactly.
Not from 9 to 10, it's after 10. Well, it's not
just between
9 and 10, it's greater
than 10.
Yeah, somebody took it from
9 to 10. To 10, yeah. Greater than 10. To just over 10. When we say 10, means 10 plus, yeah.
It could be just before 10.
Then it wouldn't be 10.
Then it wouldn't cross the threshold.
Then it wouldn't cross the threshold.
Right.
But as soon as you do a little bit more.
Yeah. I don't know if it's, I don't know where we decided that a little bit more. I mean, 10 is 10. 10 is, I don't know. I don't think you could ever measure that, you know, to the millimeter in a sense. So 10 is going to be the threshold. From 10 and onwards, you're going to be liable. But the point here is, I think there is this machlokas. So according to Tosis, yes, you would split it between all of them, even though the Gemara here says that the last one is going to be liable, right? So within the world of the Rabbanon, they say start at 9, one person digs down to 9, the next one completes to 10. There, the last one is liable across the board. Whether the animal dies, whether it's damaged, you're going to be liable across the board. And says Tosus, that's the limit, right? That's only because you're crossing the threshold. Whereas if you're already over that threshold, then you're going to split it. So you're going to split it between everybody. Whereas I don't remember who says it, possibly the Rashba, but I think somebody else disagrees and says within the world of the Rabbanon, the point is that the last person will always be liable. This is the exact, that's what our Mishnah means. When it says, Hichshayti b'miktas nizko, you do only part of the damage, sorry, part of the preparation. The last person who comes along and does the fine, you know, is the one who leaves it in this state, they are going to be the one who is liable across the board, i.e. they sort of undo, in a sense, what the other person had already left there. They undo that preparation of the damage. Bur is an unusual type of thing because you in a sense, it requires, and actually the Gemara talks about later on this idea of what we call tchilasa b'pshiyah v'sofa b'onus, that you can start off by doing something doing something wrong, right? Wrong is maybe too strong a word, but you leave a potential to damage, right? You start with an act of negligence, right? But in the end, it actually becomes there is an element of onus, there is an element of of sort of it coming out the blue at the end, you know, at the very, very end. So
would an analogy be someone putting up scaffolding?
Yes.
The last person was meant to have tightened all the locking nuts but didn't. For the whole structure.
I don't think so, because each nut, in a sense, is its own different thing. Meaning, whereas with a pit, you know, adding on the last tefach is obviously there, right? For instance, when you come onto the scaffolding, I don't know, the fact that you tighten the ones in the top left-hand corner, because those are the last ones to be put on, you don't, that doesn't, unless explicitly stated, I don't think that means that you've checked every single other one, you know, all the way from the bottom. So I'm not sure. It's an interesting analogy, but I don't think it's quite the same thing. Okay. I think what's... Yes, go on.
First of all, I still don't really quite follow what you just summed up. If somebody digs it, say, to 3 and somebody else extends it to 6,
right.
It's still not at that threshold. But now there's damage.
Yes.
The animal falls into damage. You're saying now that one opinion is that only the second person
would pay.
Irrespective of the fact that if it hadn't been extended to 6, the first person would still have been liable to damage to the animal if it had fallen in.
Yes, in the same way that the Rabbonim say the same thing. That's the opinion. Well, it's not quite the same thing, but what the Rabbonim are saying over here is, let's say someone digs to 9 and then it goes to 10 and the animal gets damaged, then you're still liable. Only the last person is liable.
Yeah, no, because I understand any case where the threshold is not involved.
No, but the threshold, you say that, but the Rabbanon, crossing, I think it's a bigger chiddush to distinguish between the two in the world of the Rabbanon, because why does the threshold make a difference? We're talking about damages. The threshold is for death, right? A pit.
No, I agree. Why should the threshold make any difference for damages?
Right, yeah. But the opinion of the Rabbanon, the Machlokes Rabbanon and Rebbe over here is, if one person digs down to 9 and then the last person digs down to 10 and the animal falls in and gets damaged but doesn't die.
Yeah.
So according to the Rabbanon, only the last one is liable, whereas according to Rebbe, they would split it because the first one had already done enough to be liable for damages.
Yeah. And they would both still have that same opinion if it hadn't been 9 to 10 but 3 to 6.
Well, that's the machlokas. That's the further machlokas. That we're talking about, as to whether the Rabbanon only saying that because what you have to say within the world, like I said, from the basic logic to me, whether you agree with the Rabbanon or not, but would be that they say that the last person is liable regardless. That's the simplest way to view it, I think. That's what they're saying. One person digs down to 9, second one digs down to 10, and the animal gets damaged, you're liable. And so too, if someone digs down to 3 and the second one digs down to 6, you're always going to be liable. The last one is going to be liable. That is their sort of rule across the board. What you have to say, if you're disagreeing with that, is that although the threshold is for death, what you've done is you've qualitatively changed the status of this pit, and therefore one person who takes the pit from 9 to 10 would be liable for damages, even though the threshold has nothing to do with damages, because he's qualitatively changed the nature of the pit. Whereas taking from 3 to 6, you'd actually split. They would split it because there's no qualitative change. Do you see what I mean? I think that's the harder one.
Because that threshold is a notional qualitative change point, right? Irrespective of the fact that it doesn't actually affect
the damages that were. Yeah. The damage.
Notional.
I think that's what you have to say, according to that opinion. Like I said, I think that's a harder one to argue, personally. But I think that's the harder one to argue, personally. But as I said, we've got multi-layered machlokas here. We've got the machlokas. We've got machlokas tanoim, I should say, about 9 to 10, right? And whether that applies to damages or not, right? Whether the last person is, whether taking from 9 to 10 makes you liable only for death, or whether it makes you liable for damages as well, right? Or you would split the difference, and not the difference, it's split the payment. And then we have, within the world of the Rabbanon, we have this Machlokes Rishonim, Tosas and somebody else, who I don't remember, as to whether you would, whether you would be liable taking it from 3 to 6, right, or something similar to that, or from 8 to 9. If you're not crossing that threshold, would you say, according to the Rabbanon, that the last person is always liable, or would you say that you would split it, right? You would split it. They've both done enough to cause damage to this animal, and therefore they're going to have to split the payment.
What about the situation where someone wanted the pit dug but didn't have the tools, for example, to get through the surface of hardcore or whatever?
Right.
So he actually employed someone to start, let's say, the first 2 crossings, and then he continued to do the rest.
Interesting question. Well, I don't think you even need to go that far. Meaning, let's say they don't have the tools and they ask someone to dig the entire pit, right? Who's liable? Let's say I ask someone to dig a pit. You know, they come along with their tools, they dig the pit and then leave it, right? That's really a question of what we call shlichut, right? Shlichut, whether you appointing somebody makes you liable or not. It's an interesting question. In general, we have a concept of what we call ein shliach ledvar avera, right? That let's say I hire a hitman, right? So the hitman is not, you know, that still does come back to me, right? The fact that doesn't come back to me. Yeah, correct. The hitman is responsible. I ein shliach ledvar avera. They know that they're not supposed to do that. So, you know, the fact that they were the one who actually did it, they're going to be liable. In this case, well, they might be part. You could definitely the wrong thing to do, and there may be something else. But they're not going to be. Yeah, correct. They're not the murderer. So the So then the
It's not
an avera, correct? It's not an avera, exactly. So I don't know how you'd say it. Yeah, I would imagine if you ask a shaliach to do something on your behalf, that you would be the one. It sort of is coming back to you. Yeah, we generally follow a concept of what we call shliach shlucho shel adam kamoso, right? That the person's emissary is in a sense connected to themselves. Yeah, it's like you. It's as though you did it. It's an extension of you who actually did that. I wonder if that's I would think so.
Whether it would be right in terms of what the rabbis
do. Yeah, we'd have to figure out. I don't know. We have to see what the Gemara says about it. I don't know. That's an interesting question. But as I say, I don't think that connects to this Gemara. I think, as I said, this Gemara is about two people getting involved. That case is a case of shaliach, which is not really a case of two, although there are obviously two people, but it's not a joint effort, right? In a sense, it's one instructing the other. It's a slightly different thing. Okay. So as I said, I think this is definitely interesting debates And I think we'll see both sides. So we have this double machloket within this area as to which one would be liable. And just to come back to our point, this does seem to be, at least according to the Rabban, and this does seem to fit well as a case of hichshati b'miktas nizko, chavti b'kol nizko or something, you know, right? It's as though you did the whole thing, because according to the Rabbanon, yes, even though you only did the last tefach, right? It's as though you did the entire thing. And even within the Rebbe, actually, that's what the Gemara says now. So now we're about nine lines from the end, right? Rebbe Yom Acher Acheron Lemis Acher Shnehem Linizakin, right? So Rebbe disagrees and says, no, only the last one is liable if the animal dies, but not if the animal gets damaged, right? Because in that case, both of them would be liable. Rav Papa Omar Lemisa V'divrei Hakol, right? So Rav Papa says that our Mishnah, right, is simply talking about a case of the animal dying, and therefore everybody, yes, the Mishnah fits into the words of the Rabbanon and into the words of Rebbe. So again, we can fit this opinion of Rebbe into our Mishnah. Ikad Amri, I want to suggest maybe, so Gemara is basically going to try and figure out now, to try and come up with another case, i.e., Ikad Amri Lema Deloka Rebbe, maybe that our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Rebbe. Omer Papa Lamisa V'Divrei HaKol, right? It's just a repetition of the same line. Basically, as we said earlier, that's the suggestion over here. That maybe you could suggest, right? Some suggest, yes, that really this does not fit within the world of Rebbe. Whereas according to Rav Papa, you could simply say that our Mishnah is dealing with a case of the animal dying, and therefore it works according to Rebbe or according to the Rabbanon. So now we're going to try and hunt around, as I said, for other cases. Whereas this first case was from a Brisa, from Tanaitic literature, the continuing cases, I think, are more suggested by the Gemara itself, right, later on. Maskifla Reb Zeira from the Amoraim. So Reb Zeira wants to know, Vesuleka, right? Are there no other cases of doing part of the damage and yet still preparing part of the damage and yet still being liable for the whole thing? V'ha'ika, right? We have another case. What's the case? Mosar shoro lechamisha b'nei adam. You give your animal to be watched by five different people. Upasha b'echad mehen. And one of them doesn't do a good enough job. The hizik, an animal, causes damage. Chayev. Then that one person is liable, right? Implying that the other four would be exempt the other four would be exempt because, as I said, because they didn't do, they did do a good enough. Well, I'm putting words into the Gemara. The Gemara is still a bit puzzled here because, again, we're trying to find a case where one person did, in a sense, only did part of the problem, and yet is still going to be liable for the whole thing. So, hey, Chidami, the Gemara wants to know, how exactly does this case work? Ilema dibelav ihu lohavar mintar pshita. So he said, if this animal required five people to look after it, and without this one person, then that's not enough, right? It was a five-person job, and this person was not pulling their weight, and that's what ended up causing damage. The Gemara says, Pshita, of course that he's going to be liable, that one person, the Ihu Ka'ovid, he did the whole thing. So that's not a case, that doesn't fit our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is talking about Hichshariti B'miktas Nizka, where you only, in a sense, do part of the damage. If the job required five people, and I didn't do my job, then I've done all the damage. I haven't just done part of the damage, I've in a sense caused all of it, because I have not finished, I've not finished the final piece of the puzzle. It required five people. I was supposed to be one of the five people. I wasn't one of the five people. So it's like there's no shmira at all. So I've done the whole thing. So that doesn't fit with our Mishnah. Allah de belav ihu nami mintar. So then, or the opposite. De belav ihu. What about if without this fifth person, he would have been looked after? The animal would have been fine. I.e., it only required one person. There were five of us. Right, and I didn't bother because I thought, you know what, there's four others already, and you know the animal's safe with those four, that's fine. Micah Ovid, the Gemara says, what did he do? Yes, it's a good question. I.e., he didn't do anything, right? Then he didn't do anything wrong. That's fine for me to sleep on the job if it's only a one person job and there are four others who are already doing it. Then I haven't done anything, so therefore I haven't done anything wrong. So why would I not be liable in that case? So we don't like that case. Basically, that case doesn't seem to work because it's a bit of what we call a mimanav shach. I.e., he's done all of the damage, and therefore I understand why he's liable, or he's done none of the damage, in which case I don't understand why he's the only one who's liable. So we're going to throw that one out. Maskifla of Sheshes. Should we do this? Let's do this last one, and then we'll stop there with the next maskevlar. Maskevlar of Sheshes, right? So we suggest another one. V'ha'ika, isn't there another case? What's the other case? Marbe bechavila. So you add on a bundle. You add on a bundle to the fire, is that what it says? Yeah, okay, I thought that's what it says. I have a feeling there's someone who says actually it's talking about adding on a bundle onto an animal's back, right? So then the animal gets damaged. But okay, so let's leave it as the fire for now. So you add on a bundle to the fire. So hey, Chidomi, Gemara wants to say, Gemara wants to know, what exactly is the case? Again, we're going to have the same problem. Either belav hochilo ozla, right? If without this bundle, the fire was good enough anyway to, sorry, was not good enough. Either belav hochi lo ozla, right? If without this, yes, if without this bundle, the fire was not strong enough to go out and cause damage. Pshita, obviously, the fact that you have now made this fire able to cause you know, proper damage, then pshita, that's obvious that only the last person is going to be, right? I lit the fire with one bundle, that wouldn't have been enough to cause damage. Now you've added on an extra bundle, then obviously you're going to be liable because you're the one who caused all the damage, right? Without you, it wouldn't have been possible for this to cause damage. Ella de belav ihu ozla, right? If we're saying that no, without this bundle, it would have gone anyway to cause damage to Micah. But again, the same thing. What exactly did they do wrong, right? What exactly must have? This is what Tosus was going on. Micah Ovid. When we say Micah Ovid, the Kulash Mait and Sarah Chloma, Micah Ovid Tfei Me'achrini. When it says Micah Ovid, it doesn't mean they did nothing. It means what did they do more than anybody else? I.e., you should split it, split the damage. Obviously, they've done something wrong, right? The point is they haven't done anything more, and that's why he connects it back. That's why he connects it back to this digging the pit. Again, the point is we're both equally liable. You put one log on the fire, I put a second log on the fire, right? Yes, maybe the fire could have caused damage either way, but the point is we're still going to be. That's why he connects it back to the pit. Okay, got it. So that was the that was that link back to that. And in that case, you'd say that both of them would be liable and therefore we still don't have another case. We're still only stuck with this one case where you only prepare half the damage. You only do half of it and yet you're part of it, I should say, and yet you're going to be liable for the whole thing. In these other cases, you've either done all the damage or you've done part of the damage and you're only going to be paying for part of the damage. You are going to end up splitting it with everyone else.
The commentary in here says that Rambam takes different interpretations.
Yeah, about the camel's back, right? That's okay, fine. So let's just reread. So the Gemara based on that is asking the same question: would the animal have broken its back without this thing? In which case, if the answer is yes, then you're going to have to, if it would have happened anyway, then they'll split it. And if it wouldn't have happened anyway, then you're going to be liable because you are the one who did it. Right, exactly. You're the one who did all of it. So you didn't just do part of it, you did the whole thing. That's what the Gemara says. Sorry? We're past that stage. We win.